to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the third hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, our award-winning syndicated talk show out of AM 1380 WLRN Studios in Millington, Tennessee. We are also going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. And as you know, we are going out live simulcast over the Internet as well at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. If you miss a live show, our broadcast archives are available to you on demand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And those broadcast archives date back all the way to nearly our very first show ever. Our first show was October 26th of 2004. The broadcast archives date back to April of 05, so a lot of digging can be done there. A very rich library of resources at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, we are kicking off this third hour, and in doing so, welcoming a third co-host of this evening, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. In the first hour, I was joined by Keith Alexander, last hour Winston Smith. I covered a lot of ground with those two staff members, and now going to be talking healthcare with the Bombardier, Big E. Eddie is a registered nurse and former combat medic, and his assignment this week was to figure out what was actually going on with this healthcare bill, what all is included in it. Dr. Stanley Monteith is going to be our guest this hour, at least we hope he is. He is not on the line yet, and we're going to be getting in touch with him hopefully in a few moments. And in the meantime, Eddie, you know, you were sharing with me a little bit earlier today that within this Obamacare socialized healthcare manifesto, there's a lot of stuff included in there that has nothing to do with healthcare whatsoever, socialistic or otherwise.
That's absolutely right, James. I tell you, since they got this healthcare thing passed, now, what I've been able to understand, what I've been able to read, and going through other people, Kimberly Strassel from the Wall Street Journal, a few people like that, Joel Skousen, what he's wanting to do, they know, at least they're saying, that about 8 months from now, the Democrats are going to just get slaughtered at the polls. You know, although that, you know, that really won't make any difference because the policy won't change. You know, we've talked about how they're two wings on the same buzzard. But one thing they're trying to pass through now, under, you know, and Janet Napolitano, who is the head of the Homeland Security, she has said that Obama, aka Barry Satoru, you know, he's really an illegal. He's not even a citizen. But he is not going to take no for an answer on getting this blanket amnesty passed through. And matter of fact, one of the bribes, you know, he had to just bribe so many people, James. They did not have the vote for this health care system. He had to go, you know, he made, plane trips to the states of Missouri, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And just, you know, backroom deals, bribing and threatening other representatives with blackmail because, as we know, according to what I've read, and, you know, we know that these representatives have been involved in all kinds of financial and sexual shenanigans. So, that's a common tactic. They use blackmail on these people. So what they're wanting to do, they're saying they're going to get, like I say, the blanket amnesty through. One of the reasons he did that, they say, is because, see, he bribed. I didn't know this. I knew he had a black caucus, but, you know, I didn't know he had a Hispanic caucus in Congress. Did you tell that, James?
I haven't heard much of that.
I hadn't either, but he went before the Hispanic caucus, and he promised them that he would get the blanket amnesty, get that through, and that he would also, another thing he's done, he halted funding for the fence, you know, for the fence down on the border.
Right.
You see, one thing I didn't know this until this past week, James, that, the Congress passed a bill, and supposedly they say they fully funded the building of the fence on the border to keep the illegals from coming across. Our border with Mexico is about 2,000 miles. Well, they weren't going to build the entire 2,000-mile fence, but they were going to build it in supposedly strategic places. Well, there's only been, I think, about 80 to 100 miles of that fence built. Guess who put up the fence? What little parts of the sections of the fence we have put up? It was farmed up to Mexican contractors. They put that fence up. Well, he's halted the money. The money, the bill was passed by Congress. The monies were made available. A lot of the money went to a virtual fence that was supposed to be put in place by Boeing aircraft. But it has not been put in place, and they say, oh, well, shucks, you know, the part that we put in, it's just not working right. Well, he halted that. He's stopped funds for that, and he's promised them he's going to get it through. And, you know, Janet Napolitano, she's in no way is she related to Judge Napolitano. But she said
you like Andrew Napolitano a little bit, don't you, Biggie?
I tell you what, Judge Andrew. Now I've heard that guy speak, and I tell you what, I don't know his politics a whole lot, but he seems to me, from what I've heard him speak, I've heard him on Alex Jones, and I've heard him on Dr. Stan's show. He is a strict constitutionalist, and I tell you what, and this he said they just butchered this, this health care bill. They just trampled all over the Constitution. Another thing he's going to do. He's going to get these carbon credits passed. James, I don't think you know a whole lot about that because you've been too busy lately.
Now, you're talking about all the things that has been promised or has been snuck into the text of the health care bill that's going to come with it.
Yeah, he's going to do it, no doubt about it. You know, you may remember they had this so-called Copenhagen summit meeting several months ago, and it got torpedoed because it got out to people exactly what was going to happen. See, what they're wanting to do, it's kind of like, the way I understand it, it's kind of like they're dredging back the old city over in Japan. What was the name of that place where they had I forget the name of that town in Japan. They had the meeting over there where old Bush passed out. He passed out over there. But anyway, what it is, they want to put these carbon credits in place, or it's the cap and trade. So-called cap and trade is what it does. It limits the amount of industrial pollutants that the United States can put out. It limits in all the other Western nations, United States, Britain, and Canada. But it gives our competitors, for instance, Brazil and China, it gives them that there is no limit on them whatsoever. They can crank out as much greenhouse gas as they want to. You see, that bill has been unable to be passed by the Congress up to date. And if it gets passed, James, it's going to totally destroy what little is left of our nation's industry to start with. You know, we make very little. Our industry is just about been exported overseas already. But if they put that in place, it's going to greatly hamper the amount of energy we can use. Some of the things, I tell you what, some of the things that have been put in this bill. Oh, before I forget, let me tell you about this too. There's a lot of fear in Washington, D.C., of the people. I'll tell you what, people are really getting, pushed to the wall. I've heard people in the Tea Parties talk about this. I've heard my friends in the Campaign for Liberty, and the Oath Keepers, and the Committees for Safety. People are getting, they're just about ready to take the streets. Well, one thing Obama is doing, he's getting this, the NORTHCOM ready. I just got to read about the NORTHCOM, the day before yesterday. NORTHCOM is a new military, branch that they've got, in the United States now, where it's been designed to operate in the U.S. And it's a combination of the United States, Army, the Air Force, the Navy, and the Marines. And they're put under unified command. Their stated purpose is to assist, civilian authorities, civilian police authorities, and fire, and other so-called authorities in enforcing the laws in the United States, in looking out for terrorists, things like that. But there's a great fear there that their true purpose they put in there is to be used against the people of the United States. Moving on. One thing that's in this health care bill, all citizens are going to be required to be enrolled in this health care bill, James, in this new health care plan. And we, the citizens, like you and me, the Anglo-Saxons, we're going to have electronic machine-readable ID cards. And but these same ID cards, electronic machine-readable ID cards, will not be required by the illegals.
Right after these messages.
Okay. Oh, you still there?
Yeah, we're going to go to break.
Okay. I couldn't tell when we went to break.
We're going to break. We'll be back with Dr. Stanley Monteith with more on Obamacare right after this.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
As promised, this third hour has been devoted to unraveling what is prepared to descend upon America as a result of the passage of socialized health care, a.k.a. Obamacare. And we have Eddie on, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and, you know, as Eddie and I were talking about before the program tonight, we knew this was going to be a difficult segment to do, a difficult hour, because there's just so much. You could do a whole month worth of broadcasts and still not cover everything that has been set in motion to unravel as a result of the passing of this bill. And, you know, you can't get many straight answers because there's not a chance that anyone up there in Washington who voted on this bill actually read it. You know, they don't read the things that they vote on. They just vote on them because of political pressure or whatever the case may be. I mean, you know, this bill is thousands of pages long. Most of it has nothing to do with health care. The part that does is scary enough. But to help make more sense of all of this, to the best extent that we can in a commercialized radio format with 10-minute segments and commercial breaks infused within, we have Dr. Stanley Monteith, a very renowned medical doctor who featured on this program on several occasions in the past. He is also a talk radio host himself. Eddie, I'd like to get you to give Dr. Monteith a more formal introduction, and then let's turn this program over to him, where he can lead us.
Well, I'll be glad to. Dr. Stanley Monteith is a very well-known orthopedic surgeon. He has worked in the United States, the state of California. I believe he was a past president of the California Medical Association. He's also worked in the country of South Africa at one time. And I believe he came back to the United States. The reason he came back here is because we know what happened to South Africa. It went communist. But he's also, I think, one of the things Dr. Stanley was also involved in was in the AIDS epidemic. He was up against the California Medical Association and probably the whole United States Medical Association because he wanted AIDS to be treated like any other epidemic. But he fought an uphill battle, a losing battle. You know, the powers that be, they did not want him to get his way, although most medical doctors wanted to be treated that way as a regular epidemic and be treated. I I've heard some people say that AIDS is the only disease with its own civil rights division. But Dr. Stanley Monteith has also been in the movement. He's been a Christian patriot and has a ministry for probably, I guess, 20, 30 years. And with that, I'm going to turn this over to good old Dr. Stan.
Dr. Monteith, great to have you back on the program. What are some of the absolutely important parts of this health care bill? What are some of the aspects of it that you feel as though are absolutely necessary to bring to the audience's attention tonight? What are some of the things that we most need to hear?
One thing I want to say, I wasn't president of the California Medical Association. I was a delegate from my county, but I led the delegation from my county to the House of Delegates there for over a decade trying to fight the AIDS epidemic. And of course, we lost the battle for the same reason that they've introduced the Obama health care bill, or I like to refer to it as the Kevorkian health care bill, because there is an agenda behind the AIDS epidemic. and that is population control, and that's why we didn't try to stop the AIDS epidemic. There is an agenda behind the Kevorkian health care bill, and nobody is talking about it. Basically, the whole idea is not to expand access to health care to a lot of people who already have insurance. The purpose of the new health legislation is to ration access to health care to the elderly and let them die. What people do not understand is this is really not about health insurance, it's about Medicare. Medicare was a Ponzi scheme, but it was introduced in 1965. It is a Ponzi scheme today. Ponzi schemes depend upon money coming in and more money coming in that goes out. Well, right up until about a year and a half ago, the Ponzi scheme worked. And there was even a medical trust fund that contained hundreds of billions of dollars. But unfortunately, the government spent that. It's much easier to spend money when you have it than to save it. So they spent it and they put IOUs in. And basically, about a year and a half ago, Medicare ran out of money. It's putting out more than it's taking in. And now they have 72 to 75 million baby boomers are going to start retiring here in the next year or so, going to be entitled to Medicare. So they have to ration health care. They've got to cut back benefits. They've got to let the elderly die because it's too expensive to take care of them. The Obama health care bill is all about limiting access to health care for the elderly and let them die. Now, I might comment that the Social Security is going bankrupt this year. It is also a Ponzi scheme. There is no trust fund. And this year, they'll be putting out more money than they've been taking in, and they're going to have to do one of two things. Either massively increase Social Security payments, which are already over 12%, probably 12.5%, or they're going to have to cut benefits, or probably both. They're going to at least have to double the taxes from 12.5 to about 25, maybe as much as 35 or 40% of wages after going to go to Social Security, or they're going to have to dramatically cut benefits. And since people don't want to give up their benefits, most people over 65 say, I paid in, I want my money. Why then they're going to have to raise the amount of money that people are putting in. But of course, that will drive even more industry out of the country because employers can't afford to be putting in another, 10, 15% of wages into this new healthcare system. So, by the end of the new Social Security system. So, what people have to understand is that the America we have known has ceased to exist. And we are going to have to start thinking about how we're going to be able to afford to take care of the elderly who do need to be taken care of. Now, I'm not suggesting that there may not be a time when elderly people should die. I'm 81, and I'll be facing that very soon. But certainly, I recently, about a year and a half ago, had a major open-heart surgery where they actually put in a new aortic valve, gave me an entirely new lease on life. And I should be able to get that operation, and I should be able to pay for it. Unfortunately, the way the system is set up today, if you are over 65, you cannot buy a medical insurance, independent medical insurance policy in this nation that will cover hospitalization. We are going to have to come up with alternatives, an alternative state-run or local-run healthcare system parallel to Medicare, where people who can afford to get the care can get it, where people who could not afford to get it will be taken care of at the local community level. We're going to have to go back to where we were back in 1965 when doctors took care of patients, when hospitals were there for a charitable purpose, where medicine was a profession and not a business, And we're going to have to recognize that the America we've known for the last 45 years has ceased to exist because it's always a fraud.
Well, Dr. Stan, that's an amazing assessment of what we stand to lose, what we need to gain as a result of everything that's transpired in Washington over the course of the past
away.
Week.
The political cesspool, guys.
We're going to take a break. We're going to learn more right after this.
Messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this place.
Hello?
Are we back? We're back now? Hey, go ahead. Okay. Hey, Dr. Stan, you just continue on where you was, fella. We're back live now.
Well, the problem we have is that there is not enough money to continue Medicare, and the whole thing is bankrupt. So, basically, they have, as part of the Obama health care bill, I mean, this is almost 3,000 pages. Nobody has ever read it, but basically this is all cover. The important thing to realize is that they are going to have death counseling. They're going to have committees in Washington, D.C., who will determine what type of treatment can be given depending upon the age of the individual. Now, there may be people who are 80 years of age that are at death's door, and certainly the doctor should make the decision or the family should make the decision. The time has come. Stop being heroic. Don't put down all sorts of tubes and put the person onto a respirator if they are at death's door. On the other hand, you may have an 80-year-old who's vibrant and has a number of good years, but that's a decision that should be made by the treating doctor and the family, not by a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C., who has no idea what this patient looks like, and this is age-dependent rather than individual-dependent. What we need, of course, is doctors to be practicing medicine, not a list of bureaucratic guidelines, which this is going to result in. Certainly, people should make decisions as to whether they want to do anything heroic or whether they don't. And if they can't make the decision, the family who loves them should make the decision for them. And when people are paying for their health care, why they're concerned? If people aren't paying for their health care, then the sky's the limit. Spend as much as you need to. Money is of no consequence. And that, of course, why we're in the problem we are today. We've got to do away with the socialist program that was introduced in 1965 and has been supported by both the Republican and the Democrat Party and is now bankrupt, and get back to where people are looking after themselves and paying for their own care, and where we have at the local community level a county hospital system that will provide the care that people require if they're unable to look after themselves. And it's about time we recognize the fact that socialism is a fraud. And, of course, until that time comes, why, the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. are going to determine who lives and who dies. And since we know that many of these people are population control enthusiasts and would like to kill off a major part of the world population, we need to let people understand what's going on. There really are people who want to kill off the elderly. And when you understand that, you understand the real danger of Obamacare. It has nothing to do with helping the young. It has to do with killing off the elderly.
You know, Dr. Stan, you know as well as I do, we've read the papers and the publications for years from the Conference on Foreign Relations, and other groups, the Bilderbergers. As a matter of fact, they want to kill off, to the best of my knowledge, 80 to 90% of the population of the whole world.
Probably even more than that. In fact, for anybody who really doubts that there really is a plan to kill off the vast majority of the population of the world, we're really talking about 95% of the world population. You only have to travel to Elberton, Georgia, and there, it's just northeast of town on one of the highest sections of the hills there, is the great Druid monument. It's known as the American Stonehenge or the Georgia Guidestones. This was put up by a secret society, because there are secret societies in America, although they're played down, of Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Lou Dobbs, Glenn Beck. They would ridicule anybody who talked about secret societies, but they're there, they're real, and you can go and visit the monument put up by a secret society with 10 commandments that come from the pit of hell, and point number one is to maintain humanity at 500 million.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Are we cut off? Okay, fine. Well,
can you hear me, Doctor?
The whole idea is to eliminate the vast majority of the population of the world. And you can see it. It's there. It was put up by a secret society. And if that's true, why won't anybody tell you about it? They don't want you to know their secret societies. And they are part of a movement that is aimed at the destruction of our nation, sending our jobs overseas, keeping our borders open so that illegal immigrants can come in, take our jobs, drive the living standards down, drain off the wealth of this nation in welfare. I mean, here in California alone, we put out $10 billion for illegal immigrants. And we only have a deficit of $20 billion. Half of the deficit is for the care of illegal immigrants. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, our governor, does nothing about it. But this is part of a master plan to destroy this nation. And it goes right along with the plan there on the Georgia Guidestone, the call for a world court, and this whole idea of a world government and marked limitation of the number of people in the world, maintaining the population at 500 million, which means they're going to have to kill off 95% of the people in the world. These people are deadly serious. They're in the process of doing it today.
You know, Dr. Stan, I've heard about those Georgia gas stoves. You know, this Obamacare is going to affect younger people too, Dr. Stan. I have heard that the IRS is actually going to be monitoring our health records. And if an individual has their own insurance policy, and if the individual gets a medical treatment or a drug, maybe a medicinal drug in this plan that is not approved by the new health care bill, they'll be fined.
We are going to have a parallel health care system. We're going to have to, and the first thing we should do is get our states to pass resolutions and say we're not going to abide by this health care bill because it's unconstitutional. Get the people to understand our Constitution. The people who voted for that bill are traitors to our country. They're sworn to uphold our Constitution and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. President Obama is a domestic enemy of the Constitution. Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, everyone who voted for this is a domestic enemy, and they should be tried for treason.
I could not agree more.
Read the Constitution. Read the 10th Amendment. These people know what they're doing. They want us to believe we are a democracy. We're not. We're a republic. We have a system of laws, and these people have violated our laws. They are domestic enemies of the United States of America. And really,
you know, Dr. Stan, have you heard, now, I know you can be fined if we don't have an insurance policy if we don't, you know, if we don't have insurance under this plan. And I've heard on some talk shows, I believe in Alex Jones, that you can even get jail sentences if you don't, you know, you can get fined and jail sentences.
No, I think that you could be fined and you would have to pay a $380, something like that, a year fine, not to take out the policy. What we need to do is really not worry the stipulations of this policy, because nobody has read it. It's too long. It's too complicated. What we need to do is say it's unconstitutional, rather than arguing about what's in the bill, to say the whole thing is unconstitutional. We are a nation of laws, and these people have violated our laws. And when the states, and basically a majority of the states, are already saying, we're not going to go along with this, that's what we need to be doing, rather than arguing what's in the bill. We need to be encouraging state legislatures to say, this is unconstitutional. Get this to the Supreme Court and hope that they will do what they are obligated to do and interpret the Constitution.
Dr. Monteith, Eddie, hold on right there. Got to take a break. We're going to wrap this up with more right after this.
Political Cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a very, very, very busy week for me outside of the studio. And when it's a very busy week for me outside of the studio, I lean on my co-host in the studio. And many thanks to Keith Alexander and Winston Smith for their work during tonight's first and second hours, respectively. And, of course, thanks to Eddie the Bombardier Miller for preparing tonight's wonderful guest, Dr. Stanley Monteith, to come on the program. And we have been, I have just basically been a silent partner this third hour as I listen to the wisdom of Dr. Monteith as he helps break down again, to the best of his ability and what short time we have available tonight, the ins and outs of Obamacare. So, gentlemen, we have about 10 minutes left in the program this evening. I'd like to turn it back over to y'all, Eddie and Dr. Stan, for kind of a summation of what we've been talking about for the last few segments. Eddie?
Well, James, you, Dr. Stan and I were talking about something we both agree on. I could not agree more wholeheartedly with Dr. Stan. We need to work through the states, from the counties up to, you know, into the states, because personally I feel like the federal level is a lost cause. I just don't think we're ever going to be able to change the Fed.
Eddie, I think that you have to understand what has really happened. We have a group of very wealthy and powerful people who work through a group of secret and semi-secret organizations. And when I say semi-secret, I mean organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations. Most people have heard of it. What they have never heard is it is a front for a secret society. It was a front for a group known as the Round Table, which was a front for a group known as the Association of Helpers, which was a front for an organization created, a secret organization created by Cecil Rhodes in 1891. Now, anybody out there who challenges that should read a book written by the leading historian of the last. His name was Professor Carroll Quigley. He was a liberal historian who taught at Princeton and Harvard before he became a professor at Georgetown University, where he spent most of his career. The most famous was William Jefferson Clinton. And the reason Clinton became president is because Professor Quigley explained to him who really runs America. And, of course, at that time, it was the Council on Foreign Relations. Now they have a hierarchy above that. It's known as the Trilateral Commission, and there are only about 87 members of the North American chapter. It's led by David Rockefeller, who in his own memoirs on page 405 admits to being part of a secret cabal working to further a new international order. Now, anybody who'd like to check what I'm saying, we carry David Rockefeller's memoirs on page 405. He talks about the secret cabal that he is a member of. And, of course, we carry Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World of Our Time. It was suppressed for many years, but it is available, where Professor Quigley tells you how the Council on Foreign Relations was formed as a front for the Round Table Group. In other words, the average member of the CFR doesn't understand what it's about, but, of course, the hierarchy do. David Rockefeller does. He's the honorary chairman, permanent honorary chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. These people, they are the people of great wealth, the people of great power, are the people who control our banks and our foundations and our corporations, and they believe in a ruling elite, and they control both political parties. Washington, D.C. is totally under their control because they control the media and they control the voting, and we have fraudulent voting in America. That's what the electronic voting machines are all about. It's about time we took America back. We're going to have to do that by returning to the States. Anybody who'd like to challenge what I am saying should go to my website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And read my book. Watch the DVD. It's there on the website for nothing. You should get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You can get the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness, and they make up the Trilateral Commission, the Group of 30, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers. You'll find that almost 12 of the key advisors to President Obama come from the Trilateral Commission. President Obama is simply carrying out their plan. I mean, this is not his plan, the Obama health care bill. It is their plan. And they, of course, want to have a situation where they can kill off the majority of the world's population. They can lower our living standards and impoverish our people. How can we verify that? Well, we go to Elberton, Georgia. We look at the Georgia Guidestones. And we read the Earth Charter. You can get it on the internet, or you can get it from my website, ministry. And basically, the Earth Charter was written by Stephen Rockefeller, David Rockefeller's nephew. And there he openly talks about the redistribution of the wealth of the American people. And in his Earth Charter, point 10A, he talks about equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. How do you get equitable distribution of wealth within nations? Why, of course, you suddenly take from the middle class and you give to the poor. How do you get equitable distribution between nations? You transfer the wealth and the jobs and the manufacturing of the United States to other nations, and that's what it's all about. They're intentionally moving to lower our living standards here in the United States and raise living standards throughout the world, and they do intend to kill off the majority of people in the world. We are financing and directing the one-child policy over there in communist China. It was coordinated by the International Planned Parenthood, financed with American tax money, and still financed with American tax money, but the American people must never understand what's really going on. These are wicked and evil people. Why do I say that? Because behind them are powerful spiritual forces, and everybody who talks about what's going on politically and the Obama bill and this piece of legislation and that piece of legislation misses what this is about. This is not a political battle. It is a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political battlefield. People want you to think this is an ideological battle. It is not. It is a spiritual battle that's being fought on an ideological and cultural battlefield. And until people begin to understand the spiritual forces that energize the people of great wealth, people like J.P. Morgan, Henry Ford, the Rockefeller family, the Rothschild family, Andrew Carnegie, the Mellons, and all of the others, unless you understand the spiritual forces that not only energized them but rewarded them and gave them their power and influence, until you understand that, you can't understand anything going on today. Because we are truly involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, and these wicked people of great wealth are intent upon destroying that. Once you understand that, you understand why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, why they tell us it's unconstitutional to have a nativity scene, you know, on a, in a public area, but it's all right to have a Sunni to have Muslim emblems every place and Jewish emblems, but you can't have anything that's Christian.
Dr. Stent, I can't thank you enough for coming on the program tonight and sharing a little bit of your wisdom with us. I want to encourage people to check out your website that you just mentioned and to check out your radio program, your hotline, and all the good stuff you offer. And thank you for helping us make at least some sense of what's forthcoming as a result of the passing of Obamacare. It's great to have people like you standing with us, and we wish you the very best as always.
God bless. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Dr. Stanley Monteith, everyone. And Eddie, we are running very short on time, but I want to thank you, my friend, for setting up that interview with Dr. Stan, for helping us shed a little light on Obamacare. We will continue to cover this issue, as well as all of the other issues that pop up on our radar here in the political cesspool. My hat's off to Keith Alexander and Winston Smith for coming in with me this evening as well. Covered a lot of topics, more topics forthcoming next week when we will be joined by Richard Spencer and Dr. Paul Godfrey. They're going to be on promoting the new conservative webzine, Alternative Right, altright.com, Alternative Right. And we're looking forward to that. They were originally scheduled for this evening, but we moved them to next week to make room for Dr. Stan. The Obamacare passing kind of took precedence. So looking forward to Richard and Paul next week. I will be back with you then as well as we head into April, Easter weekend forthcoming. It's a lot of good stuff. Spring is in the air. We're excited about it, no matter how dire the political circumstances are around us. We look forward to living life and fighting in this battle. I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week, everybody.